belted into the corner, and it's a one-run game. The Royals get brash again.
But it wasn't enough last night as the boys in blue, the Royals, looking for the elusive 40th win of the year. And we're in mid-August and school's back in session now today for some schools. Some started yesterday, some started maybe last week, others may be waiting till later this month. But the Royals tried to fight back, and they did. They fought back, but they fell short again last night as the Royals go with the opener, James MacArthur, and then their actual starter actually pitched fairly well. They walked five guys and Alec Marsh. And the bottom line is the Royals lose by a final of 6-5. Nelson Velasquez with his third homer already with the Royals. That's been a good pickup so far. And so he tied the game at 4 in the sixth. And yeah, he hit a solo homer. What? Okay, so that was in the ninth. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
The home
so
run, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so he tied the game with a double play in the fourth. So the Royals are now 39-83. The Mariners 65-55, and they'll finish their four game series today at 1:10 this afternoon against the Mariners. And here is Matt Cotrero on his pitchers trying to close out games.
Yeah, we have to figure out a way to put up zeros. I mean, you come into close games, and that's your job to keep it where it is. You know, we've had better luck some nights than others, but that's the end goal for all those guys.
So Andrew Zerpa will be the pitcher for the Royals, and you know, as a Royals fan, after a while, you're like, who are these guys? Who are these bleeping guys?
A lot of pitchers right now that it's like
just trying to get. It's like they're limping through to get through the end of the year, you know.
Yeah,
and we still got
what?
How many games? Unfortunately, the Royals are what did we say 39-83, so 17, another 40 games or so yet. Whew,
that's tough.
Yeah, it's real tough to be a Royals fan, no doubt about it. And then the guy they used to try to close the game the other night, Nick Whitgren, they designated or optioned to Omaha, and now he's chosen to be a free agent. So a guy that they're using to try to close a game the other night.
Yeah.
They traded the closer Barlow to the Padres, who, by the way, has not done well with the Padres.
Yeah, and they wanted Hernandez to be the closer, and that did not work for him.
That hasn't worked out well.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's really not much that works well for the Royals. But Bobby Witt Jr. is one of those guys that's worked very well. He looks like a superstar. I've always thought he was kind of the only can't-miss prospect the Royals have had. Like, the Royals couldn't even mess him up. It's kind of how I felt when he got drafted. I'm like, man, this is a guy that just makes sense. J.J. Piccolo was asked yesterday about extension for Witt Jr., which, you know, if you're Witt Jr., why would you sign an extension?
Not right now, I wouldn't.
I wouldn't sign it. First of all, the Royals aren't very good. Second of all, my value will continue to go up if I keep playing well.
Yeah.
And I'm getting better all the time. And I can make, somebody said, well, you just give him a 16-year, $400 million deal. That's $25 million a year. Yeah, he's worth more than $25 million a year, and he's only 22, 23 years old. So imagine if he waits a couple years what his value is. And that's the bad thing for the Royals is you can take your guaranteed money. You could get, you know, even if it's a $400 million deal, and you're like, well, who's dumb enough to turn that down? Well, if it's over 16 years, you're better off signing 2 or 3 year deals and then getting 4 or 5 contracts to where it continues to rise your value of your contract if you continue to play well. So is the guarantee of if you sign a 16-year, $400 million deal today, Bobby Witt Jr. secure for life financially? Yes, that is true. But how much money is he leaving on the table by not doing it the way that people usually do it? And that's, I mean, Chris Jones, he didn't sign a 16-year deal, right?
No.
A few years ago, he signed a 4-year deal worth $80 million that put him at age 29 going into his final year, knowing that if he performed well, he was going to have a chance to get another big deal. And when you look at the NBA, I mean, they're, a lot of these guys are positioning themselves for free agency, knowing that they're probably going to re-sign with the team they got to get these supermax deals. And so they do it on purpose, the way it's set up. They don't go with an 8-year contract in the NBA. You know, it's usually, what, a 3-year deal, 4-year deal, maybe a 5 with a max. Because if they're young enough, if you're 23, 24, 25 in your prime, you'll get another chance at having a deal when you're 30. And some of these stars are lasting longer. I mean, obviously LeBron, I mean, he's 38. That's a great example of, you know, a guy that he's had all kinds of smaller contracts.
Mm.
And you make more money that way as long as you stay healthy. That's the key.
Yeah.
Bobby Witt Jr., is it automatic money if he would say, if the Royals say, hey, man, we want to offer you 16 years, $400 million. It's all guaranteed. You're going to get it no matter what. If you get hurt next year, whatever else. Would Bobby Witt Jr. be smart in taking it? Well, people that are listening now to the show would be like, well, you're an idiot if you turn down $400 million in guaranteed money. But Bobby Witt Jr. has got to sit here and go, well, first of all, if I play well for another few years, the Royals aren't going to be able to afford me. And yes, I love the Royals, maybe, but my job is to get what I'm supposed to be paid value-wise. Yeah. And if the Royals can't pay me what my value is, then yeah, I have to consider the Yankees, the Dodgers, and by then he probably might be able to get $50 million a year instead of 25. Seriously, think about this. I mean, for crying out loud, you got old over the hill pitchers. Not over the hill, maybe, but Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander are each making over $40 million a year.
Yeah.
What do you think? Shohei Ohtani is going to make who knows how much when he's a free agent, and he plays, you know, pitcher and DH / outfield. But I'm trying to think of a contract recently that, Carlos Correa got a gigantic deal, and he's past his prime. So, and he plays shortstop.
Yeah.
So and hits with the Twins. Imagine what Bobby Witt Jr. could make if he's a year out from free agency. If he just waits this out, and once again, you are rolling the dice of having a catastrophic career-ending injury. Well, that's the odds of that are very slim, but it's possible. But Bobby Witt Jr. could be possibly, this is what some people don't understand. Well, take the $400 million. Yeah, but that's it. That's his career. That's it. 16 years, yeah. $400 million. That's it. Because he'll be 38, he's probably done at the end of his career. Well, why wouldn't you take $400 million? Because... would you turn down four? Would you, if you knew that you probably could get $750 million or more, would you take 400? Now, maybe you would. Maybe you would. Maybe you don't believe in yourself as much, or you think weird, bad things are going to happen. You think in a negative way. But most of these athletes, they think in a positive way.
Oh, yeah.
They think, well, first of all, I'm only 22, 23. I am going to get better. Look what I've done from last year to this year. I went from one of the worst shortstops defensively to one of the best ones in 1 year. I'm on pace to do something. I've already done something no Major League Baseball player has ever done in the history of the game. 20 home runs, 30 stolen bases, back-to-back years, and he's still going strong. He's got a chance for 30 homers and 45 stolen bases. You know how many people have done that in Major League Baseball history? Zero.
Yeah.
He'd be the first to ever do that. So when you start talking about doing these amazing things and you consider and go, well, he's on a bad team, he's running up his stats, there's something to it. Yeah, I get that. He also doesn't have a lot of protection of
there's
him
nothing
in the lineup.
Around him, yeah.
Right, so if he's able to do that, now imagine what he can do when he's 25. We saw what Mahomes did early in his career, right? And now see where he is. And it's like he's made those progressions and he's been able to win. Now, Bobby Witt Jr., baseball is a whole different landscape than the NFL. And maybe he'll win someday, and it may or may not be with the Kansas City Royals. So are the Royals smart to try to sign him to a extension? Yeah, right now the Royals should be the Royals should put their best foot forward and say, we'll give you what we can give you at the most we can give you. And I still don't think that's probably enough. But if Bobby Witt Jr. wants to do that, that's fine. Who was the Royals player that took a deal, what was that, a few years ago? It wasn't Witt, was it? Merrifield? It seemed like there was a Royals player that actually, who the heck am I thinking of? Well, anyway, I'll play the J.J. Piccolo cut and I'll see if I can figure it out. Maybe. If the computer will play.
We always felt comfortable with Bobby as a player, but now that he's the level at which he's playing, obviously we want him to maintain that and even continue to get better because there is still some ceiling with him. I think our feeling a couple months ago, he's just scratching the surface of what he can do. So from an off-season perspective, you know, we feel like our left side of the infield is secure, so we don't need to worry that much about the left side of the infield. We may need to add some depth and get a right-handed bat that complements other left-handed hitters. But the shortstop and third base position we're not overly concerned with right now.
Would you say you're more inclined to have long-term contract discussions with him since he's put up these numbers, or it doesn't?
No, it doesn't change. I mean, it's something we've always been interested in, and you know, as we've talked about before, the timing of those things is always the key. You know, so when a player's performing exceptionally well, that's a time that they're going to want to talk more. When a player's not necessarily performing at the expected level, they're going to be more reluctant. I think what it does, Bobby continues on this path, it gives us a runway to start thinking about how are we going to attack the offseason and how those discussions might go.
Are you starting to have those discussions now?
Yeah, we tabled them back in spring training. We spoke to his representation and said, you know, the time's not right. Let's just visit it after the offseason.
All right, so listen, if you're a Royals fan, you're sitting here going, there's no way Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be a Royal 5 years from now, right?
Yeah, I don't feel like he will be.
I doubt it. And that's one of the problems with baseball, the system that they have, and that is that even if you do draft well, and the Royals have not, or they simply haven't developed well, one or the two, or both, you finally get the guy in Bobby Witt Jr., and now he's starting to come along, whether it's because of you or maybe he's just that good no matter what. But you've only got this certain length of window. And that's the problem for the small market teams in baseball. Even though they do get, they've gotten more money over the years now with luxury tax money and stuff that's been spent, you know, by the bigger teams that goes to some of the smaller market teams. It's one of those situations where you're not, there's a lot of pressure when you hit that window. And if you don't hit that window, or as when you look at the Royals, this is why people speak out of both sides of their mouth. We the Royals stink, right? We got to bring up Bobby Witt Jr. We got to bring up MJ Melendez. We got to bring up Vinny Pascatino. And there's other franchises that keep their guys down longer, and they're ready. Those guys are maybe ready. And they say when they manipulate service time. Well, why? I mean, if you can do it, you should do it. Because what good is it for Bobby Witt Jr. or MJ Melendez to waste a year of service time on a team that loses 120 games? And because, like, right now, what you're getting at Bobby Witt Jr. does not help the Kansas City Royals. Like, oh, yay. They won 39 games. That's it. He's having a great year and trending in the right way. 39 wins is all that translates to. It goes back to my whole thinking about, why do you have a closer on a baseball team that's horrible? Why do you re-sign Jared Allen in his prime when you're 2-14? What's the point, right? Yeah. Like, you've got to fix other things on your team. So Bobby Witt Jr., you either got to trade and get all kinds of assets for down the line, but not right now, or you got to sign him to a big deal. But the problem with all of that is that you have all kinds of things to fix on in your organization, and you've only got this short window to hit it. I mean, so if you can go ahead and push back when Bobby Witt Jr. makes his major league debut, if you know that you're at least 3 years away from actually contending, I see why teams do this. I see why they, well, you know, we can got this veteran. Why is Matt Duffy in this spot? Why is Hunter Dozier in this spot? Because that delays these other guys coming up, because we know that we're not that good yet. So why waste the service time until we get, let's wait till we actually think we're starting to go in the right direction. Right now, let's be honest, Bobby Witt Jr.'s year last year was a waste. Bobby Witt Jr.'s year this year, not as a waste in development, but in regards to success for the Royals, it's a waste. Bobby Witt Jr.'s performance right now is a waste. This team is going nowhere. And you could sit here and say, well, you mean it's a waste because he's now going to progress into a superstar next year. Do you think the Royals are making the playoffs next year?
No.
So Bobby Witt Jr. can go out and hit 45 home runs, do what Selby did, hit 48 home runs. Remember Selby did a few years ago? 48 home runs, driving 120 and hitting near 300 or whatever it is, be an MVP candidate, but he had no chance of winning it because they'll say, well, he's on a bad team. Well, it's amazing. Actually, it's more impressive that he does what he does with no protection in the lineup, but whatever you want to say. He's a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. He's an amazing hitter. He steals tons of bases, but he won't be MVP because he's on a bad team. What good does it do the Royals, other than maybe get more people in the seats to watch Bobby Witt Jr. play? Mm-hmm. What does it do for the, I mean, I guess you want to have a brand new stadium they want to build in a district. They've got to pick between two sites, apparently. And Rob Manfred, the commissioner of Major League Baseball, was talking about that yesterday. And I'm just sitting here going, what if Bobby Witt Jr. came up a year later than he did? Now that window, we're still far away right now, is my point. The Royals actually made less progress from last year to this year in regards to the win losses. Now, you could argue they're making more progress in regards to their younger positional players. How much progress have they made from their pitching staff, I think, is way left up for debate. I don't know if they have made any progress with their pitching staff compared to last year at this time. And that's going to be the key, not Bobby Witt Jr. The key to this organization making the playoffs and winning a division over 162 games or making a wild card is pitching. And Bobby Witt Jr. doesn't pitch. And I love Bobby Witt Jr. And he's a guy I want to build around. I want Bobby Witt Jr. as a Royal for the rest of his life. I do. I know that's unlikely. He's a shortstop. He's prime time position. He's an outstanding athlete. He's an amazing athlete. And he trains with the same guy that Patrick Mahomes trains with. And he's kind of almost like he might become a unicorn. And he's doing things that other Major League Baseball players haven't done in his first 2 years ever in the history of the game. And has a chance to do more of that yet this year on a team that's won a whopping 39 games. Really what's happening is it's driving up the price by him being so good. It's driving up the price. And for Royals fans that enjoy Bobby Witt Jr. having such a really good tear right now, which is great because you like to see, oh, wow, other people talking about this Royals player. But it's bad for the future of your organization. You actually want Bobby Witt Jr. to be like average right now. You really do. You don't want Bobby Witt Jr. to really take off until you're close. And I know that's a perfect world that I'm painting. But this is actually a bad thing for the Kansas City Royals. When Bobby Witt Jr. is taking off this quickly, if the Royals were near 500 and you knew next year was the year that they're going to really contend, then this is perfect. This is fine. But the fact that they're so bad and they're so far away with their pitching, it appears, and we talked about what guys on this team are going to be on this team 3 years from now. If you think it's 3 years from now you're going to contend, the only guy we came up with was Bobby Witt Jr. when you and I went through it. Maybe Brady Singer. There's two. MJ Melendez, three. And after that, I think there's still questions. Michael Massey's hitting 220. I don't know if that's a for sure. How do we know if he's going to be the second baseman? McCullough Garcia's looking really good, so you start to think maybe he can. But that's over the span of what? He didn't even start the season on the big league roster. So pitchers may eventually figure him out. And he weighs $160, for crying out loud. He could snap like a twig. So there's tons of questions for the Royals on what are you going to do other than you have Bobby Witt Jr. And there should be a sense of urgency for the Royals that if we want to win with Bobby Witt Jr. this year, we're going to have to at least spend a little bit of money in free agency to maybe fill a few holes. But if you do that and you know you're not close, you might set yourself back. So it's a tough situation the Royals are in. And they've made their own beds and they have to lie in it. But when you as a Royals fan are getting super excited about Bobby Witt Jr. doing what he's doing, that's awesome. At the same time, it's horrible. It really is.
Yeah. And
his value is going up every day.
It is. And what's crazy about it is like last year we felt good about it, right? Like we felt this year it was going to improve and they were going to be better this year. And I don't think any of us thought they were going to contend for the playoffs or anything like that. But you kind of felt like going into this year, something was going to be a little bit better and you'd be able to take that next step, right? Well, they've gone backwards this year. And like you said, with pitching, it's like we just said at the beginning of the show, we don't even know these names when pitchers are going out there. So the pitching has obviously regressed.
They're throwing out openers, and they have to have Zach Greinke fill a spot in your rotation.
Yeah, and Jordan Lyles, who's been terrible this year. And
4 home runs and 1 inning.
Yeah, and it's like, so the guys that we know have very high ERAs. At one point this year, Greinke and Lyles were like a combined 2-17 or something like that. That's actually, I think it was 2-23 the day I did the show that day. Yeah. And it was like, what are we doing? Doing here, and they find, you know, Lyles finally got the one win on his record, and it's like those are your guys that you know that
you're
are on
him, and you're paying
staff.
Lyles $8 million a year,
yeah, and the only other guy that you know, and listen, I think there's something to what we were talking about earlier this year with both Bobby Witt Jr. and Brady Singer, right? Like being on Team USA and not doing much at the World Baseball Classic stunted the start of the year for them too.
Both of them.
And I think maybe that would have helped a little bit for the Royals. I don't know if it I'm not saying they're right. at all going to be contending, but maybe they'd be to like 45 wins by now instead of 39.
Well, they might have got
right?
to a better start, which would build some confidence.
And so you're seeing that again, kind of like we did last year from Brady Singer, where he's coming around now as season goes on and he's starting to be at times unhittable and just figuring things out. And I think after having the year that he had last year and then sitting doing nothing basically at the World Baseball Classic when he could have been at spring training was a detriment to this team without a question. Bobby Witt Jr., we know who he is, right? Like we know, and I knew the moment I saw him live in Wichita in AA that night, like this dude is legit. He is going to be a dude. And so we kind of know that with Bobby Witt Jr. It's just when's he going to put it all together at the same time? And right now is when he's doing that, right? Like he is hot right now. One of the hottest players in Major League Baseball. And so you knew that was coming. The tough thing with Bobby Witt Jr. is That was 2 years ago, right? That I saw him
right.
in Double A, and I knew at that point there was no way that you could start opening day in 2022 legitimately without him on your roster.
Yes,
like he was ready.
Yes,
and you've got to start him.
Right,
because on the backside of that, like if I want to sign him, say I do want to sign him, and he's crazy enough to sign a 16-year, $400 million deal, right?
Yeah.
I can't wait another half a year or a year to put him on my major league team because he's not going to have trust in me. He
right.
knows he's ready. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows he's
right.
ready. So you can't even wait until May.
Mm-hmm.
Like he's got to be on the mm-hmm. opening day roster in 2022.
Yeah.
And so that stunts everything because you know 2022 is not a season we're going to go to the playoffs or anything like that. We're probably not even going to contend.
Yeah, full
and,
year of service
yeah,
time.
Yeah, and so that's the full year. So, but if you wait for him and then now you want to try to sign him long term, he's like, well, I ain't going to sign with you long term. You didn't believe in me and trust in me and get me going when I should have been going.
Right.
And so I think it's a never ending thing when it comes to a small market team like the Royals to where you're trying to figure things out and you're trying to improve. Mm-hmm. And then now you've got a guy that, you know, right now he's after this year, he's still under your control for two more years, but it's like, are we going to win in 2 years? And then
yeah.
2026 comes around after, you know, he's done the arbitration thing in 2025 and 2026 is here. And You lost the window. You lost your chance to do anything with one of the best players in Major League Baseball at the time.
Well, that's the predicament that the Royals have.
If
when a guy is obviously more than likely ready, it's a bad look for you within your fans because they're wanting anything to grab onto because you're so bad.
Yeah.
And so fans don't like it. The media turns on you like, well, this guy's ready. Why are you keeping him down? Some people understand it. Like Soren Petro and others will understand why. And they won't necessarily agree with it. They'll be like, you know, if a guy's ready, he's ready. And that's how it should be in life. You know, if a guy's ready for this job, you shouldn't just hold him down, you know, for a year when they're ready to take on the job. And does it make you better as a company when you promote that person? Probably. And you don't really hold them down another year or two, right? Just so their salary doesn't go up. Hopefully that doesn't happen very often. In Major League Baseball, it's about service time. There's no service time in life in regards to your job,
yeah.
except for your contract, right? If you sign a long-term deal. And so, you know, the Royals right now, Bobby Witt Jr. is under control, I believe, through 2025.
Yeah.
Well, okay, so and there might be the, I don't know what it is on 26, if there's some kind of option situation or not. But anyway, the bottom line is that the clock is ticking. And so, I mean, if we're talking through 2025, then that means we've only got two more seasons, right? Am I right? I mean, this is 23,
yeah.
So we're talking, so if we don't think the Royals are any good next year, or we don't think they're close enough to make in the playoffs, right? And we don't.
No.
Okay, then you're going into 2025 with Bobby Witt Jr., and all the talk and distraction will be, well, we got to win now. One, two, and then also there's a whole talk of the, who knows what's going on with the new stadium at that time. Also, you are talking about Bobby Witt Jr. going somewhere else.
Who are we at the trade deadline? That's what you're talking
about.
That's
what you're talking about because you know you can't sign him to $40 million a year,
yeah.
whatever it might be he's worth at that time if he keeps ascending the way he is.
Yeah, I mean, listen, we've seen this too many times as Royals fans, right?
Yes.
Like these guys come up in our system.
Carlos Beltran would be a great
Beltran,
example.
Damon, you know, mm-hmm. just guys that came up that Jermaine Dye, you know,
mm-hmm.
guys that were young came up through this system and you know that, well, who are we trading them for? Who are we going to get back for them?
Yep.
And that's a sad thing.
It's a vicious cycle when you trade great prospects that turn out to be great that you develop or you draft, and within 5 years you're trading them for hoping to get the same type of guy, but you go through the same sick cycle again.
Yeah, and you know, even when you know it's coming, it hurts.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Carlos Beltran was.
You knew it was coming.
It was like the top of my list as a Royals fan of a guy that you knew it was coming, but it hurts so much
yeah.
still.
Like a five-tool player, just like Bobby Witt Jr.
Exactly. He had it, and before all of his cheating allegations was a fringe Hall of Fame guy, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like this he was a dude. I mean, for a while he had the most home runs in a postseason and that was the year the Royals traded him to the Astros, right? And they made the World Series. And so it was like, oh man, it hurt, even though you knew it was coming. And this is why, you know, last week you're talking about let Bobby Witt Jr. play and enjoy it right,
right.
now. Let's not talk about the future, but
yeah.
As a Royals fan, you're just conditioned to think and know that this is coming.
Sure.
And again, it's just like you just feel helpless. Like you can't do anything about it. But you got to have some kind of success and happiness while it's happening.
As a Royals fan, do you maybe should you think this way? We're not going to keep him anyway. We know, I mean, he's going to be too good. There's no way that he's going to sign with us. There's no way we're going to give him the money to match anybody else in Major League Baseball. We can't match up with the L.A. market, the Chicago market, the New York market, the Boston market. We have no chance in heck. Like you just said, a defeatist attitude.
Go back home to Texas. You can't match.
Right. You can't
Texas
match the Rangers.
Houston,
right. Right. So you just and what you said, and I'm not taking a shot at you. I actually agree with you with this thinking. It's a defeatist attitude, but you understand where it came from, right? That
yeah.
Well, we'll small market team, and we got to hit the window because we're not going to be able to keep him. And if we do, we're going to spend so much money, it's going to kill the rest of our team because we have no money left to buy other players to put together a good team. So odds are we're not going to re-sign Bobby Witt. So the defeatist attitude of a Royals fan right now would be. Or maybe this is the way they should be thinking. Bobby Witt Jr., we need you to absolutely tear the cover off the ball and be the most amazing player all the way up to the trade deadline in 2025 so that we can get as much as we possibly can to try to restock our organization. And then, of course, pray to God we can develop these guys. I mean, that's what we're coming down to, right?
Like, yeah.
If we know that right now Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to sign a $400 million 16-year extension, which, by the way, that was just something that somebody threw out there hypothetically.
Yeah.
That is not on the table.
No, it
trust
won't
me.
Happen.
And the Royals, it'd be insulting, actually, to Bobby Witt Jr. to say, hey, well, 16 years, $400 million. It's insulting. Because he's going to be worth more than $25 million
contracts
per year.
Contracts just continue to go up and up.
Right.
You're not going to sign a $25 million average salary.
And you're not
Corey Seager's 29
years.
At shortstop right now, making $35.5 million. Right?
Yeah.
Like,
right.
Like, yeah, no, that's not going to happen.
So, do you, as a Rose fan, just say we're going to lose him anyway in a few years? So, just absolutely kick his butt as much as you can. I'm going to enjoy you in the powder blue as much as I can. I'm going to go to the games as much as I can, watch Bobby Witt Jr., and then that way we can get our biggest return instead of thinking, well, don't be so good here so you lessen your value so that we can keep you longer. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely. I'm on the first part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I want Bobby Witt Jr. to rake. I want him to be a star and a stud because it even as much as Carlos Beltran and Johnny Damon and guys like that hurt, mm-hmm. it was still so much fun to watch that even if your team wasn't good, right?
Right.
Like, and it's tough to say that and it's tough to think like that, but I loved watching Carlos Beltran play. When
oh,
he was
I loved him too.
And so, I think there's a lot of people that probably think Bobby Witt Jr. would look great in a Texas Rangers uniform, right?
Sure.
And so you just sit here and think about
his
it.
Dad
and,
played for the Rangers.
And think he grew up there, and I'm pretty sure that they're going to make a pretty good push for him when he becomes a free agent.
Yes.
And he's going to become a free agent, mm-hmm. unless he gets traded, right? And the Royals make
or
that
unless
move,
he gets
right?
hurt, and then he yeah. needs to maybe have some stability for a few years.
Yeah. It's just like he's not signing an extension at any point during this time.
His agent, I guarantee, is telling him not to.
Yeah. And so, maybe the Royals think they can hang on and sign him and they won't trade him at the deadline in 2025. But it's a reckless move if they don't. And just because I just don't see him being a part of the future way it is right now.
I know that's a little bit different, but there are similarities. All we got to do right now is look at a current situation type of Major League Baseball. Bobby Witt Jr. in 2025 might be the best player in Major League Baseball. He might be. He might be one of the best two or three players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah.
You could argue right now, over the last 30 days, he is one of the top five players in Major League Baseball.
Yeah,
easily.
Sure.
Okay, so Shohei Ohtani, what's the talk in L.A. with the Angels? What's been the talk all year long? You've got to trade him or sign him.
Yeah.
But he is on a team that isn't winning or making the playoffs. They had a good stretch, and then Trout got hurt. Next thing you know, right now they're right around 500. They're not going to make the playoffs more than likely. Once again, Shohei Ohtani's talents are being wasted from a standpoint that he didn't even make it to the playoffs or the postseason. Great regular season, but he can't carry the team. He can't do everything, even though he does more than any other Major League Baseball player has maybe done in the history of the game, and that mm-hmm. is pitch every 5 days, be a top five pitcher, and be the best hitter in baseball as well. And he's a good base runner and leads the league, or did at one point, doubles, triples, and home runs. What else you want the guy to do? And that's only good enough for the Angels to be around 500.
Yeah.
So if you're Shohei Ohtani, you're like, first of all, the Angels could pay me my money. That's true. And I could stay here. And maybe he will at the end of the year. But right now, you're past the trade deadline. The Angels did not trade him.
Yeah.
So the Angels are betting that they're going to re-sign Ohtani.
Yeah.
Now, maybe they have information talking with him that they know that he's more than likely to re-sign with them. But that's a gamble. That's a huge gamble.
Yeah.
Instead of trading him for a whole bunch of stuff. So now what happens is Ohtani goes on the free agent market, and he's going to get the highest paid contract in all of baseball. Right now, Max Scherzer makes the most, him and Verlander, at $43 million a year. And then after that, Judge at $40 million, and Anthony Rendon, who's been a train wreck, always hurt for the Angels, is at $38 million. Well, Ohtani's way better player than Rendon. Ohtani should get paid $80 million. But anyway, compared to Rendon.
Yeah.
So Ohtani's going to get probably, he's going to probably be the first $50 million baseball player.
Probably going to be 50.
I think at least. Because of what he does.
Yeah.
Okay, so there's only a few teams in Major League Baseball that can do that, right? The yes. Dodgers could do it. The Angels, I think, could if they wanted to. The Dodgers could do it. The Yankees, obviously, could do it. Maybe the Cubs could do it. Who am I leaving out here?
Red Sox could probably do it if they
Red
wanted
Sox.
To.
The Rangers could do it. They've been throwing out. The Rangers have been throwing out money left and right to a whole bunch of guys recently. So there's a hand. Probably on one hand, you can come up with the markets that are going to be for Shohei Ohtani. And he's older than Bobby Witt Jr., but he does pitch every 5 days and, of course, does what he does. The Angels are in the spot that you don't want the Royals to be in, is what my point is. In 2025, if you get to the trade deadline and the Royals are somewhat in contention, and that's exactly what the Angels were. At the trade deadline, the Angels were somewhat in contention. Mm-hmm. They had a shot at the wild card, and when Trout got hurt, it was shortly before the All-Star break, if I remember correctly. So now you're kind of in limbo, which is a horrible thing. You'd rather be absolutely horrible or really, really awesome leading your division to know, okay, this is a no-brainer. We're going for it. If we lose Ohtani, we got to go for it. We'll let our team down if we trade Ohtani when we lead the AFC. The AL West, right?
Yes.
But if you're horrible, it's like, okay, we might as well. But I've talked about it. 8-8 in NFL or 81-81 in baseball. Anything at 500 is purgatory in sports. It's purgatory. You're not bad enough to stock up on draft picks. You're not good enough to be, you know, winning championships or making the playoffs. You're not bad enough to be at the very top of the draft order. You're stuck in the middle. That's purgatory. All right, it's sports purgatory in regards to your team's success. Like if you go 4-12, 8-8, okay, you're making a path. But the Dolphins are the perfect example of purgatory.
Yeah,
Todd Clover knows this all too well. You know, 8-8, 7-9, 8-8, 8-8, 8-8. Oh, maybe 9-7. Never 10 wins or 11, but never 4 or 5 where we tank. And so if you fast forward, the worst thing that could happen to the Royals near the trade deadline in 2025, if Bobby Witt Jr. has not signed an extension, which I predict he will not, and he continues to ascend as a player, is the Royals think they're in contention, but they're really not in contention, so then you don't trade Bobby Witt Jr. like the Angels didn't trade Ohtani, and you're rolling the dice, hoping somehow that he's going to be loyal to you, and he'll probably take some kind of discount, and he's going to stay with you, and if he doesn't, you get nothing for him. And that's the thing with Ohtani. You're not going to get anything for him if he leaves as a free agent. You're not going to. The difference is Witt Jr. is going to be, I think, younger than Ohtani here in 2025 than Ohtani is now.
Oh, yeah. For
so
sure.
This is the spot. The Angels are in a spot where the Royals don't want to be in a couple years. You either got to be god-awful and know, hey, it's obvious, we got to trade him. Or you're really good to where you're right there, not purgatory where you're 59-59, but I'm talking you're 66-53 and you're a game out of first. Well, then it's probably like, you know what? But the thing is, the Angels can overcome that a little bit more because of the market they're in. The Royals would get double whammied by that. They'd get double whammied by, everybody might tell them, in 2025, near the trade deadline, the Royals are a game out of first. Well, it's obvious. You got to go for it. Well, that season makes total sense. But if you go ahead and go for it that year, and then Bobby Witt Jr. leaves you at the end of the year, that sets you back for maybe 5 years. Whereas if you trade Bobby Witt Jr., even if you're a game out of first in 2025, you can get a whole bunch of pieces. Your team is obviously better than it is now if you're that way in 2025. To where you could maybe have that longer window to be successful. That's what the Chiefs did with Tyreek Hill. They had to think about that last year. I think they're thinking about that right now, Chris Jones, a little bit too, is do you want to be all in for this year or do you want to have that window lengthened? Now, baseball's a little bit tougher to have that window lengthened because of the landscape and the financials of it all, no salary cap. But that would be the worst possible situation, would it not? That you get to the trade deadline in 2025 and the Royals are teetering on the edge of, you know, back in 14, we were 2 under .500. We can make a run. And they keep him and they don't trade him. And then he walks and you get nothing for him.
Yeah, it's a totally different scenario with Shohei Ohtani. I mean, I get what you're talking about if you're in the position during the season at the time, right? Like, but LA has good a chance as any to re-sign him.
That's based why on they the money roll that the
they
dice. Have,
and so they take a calculated risk right there, right? Yeah. Like of hey, you know, if we can get Trout healthy for an entire year, and we can get somebody else in here, and we can do the right things, build this team the way Shohei needs it to be built to win, we can still keep him here. And so that's why you don't trade Shohei Ohtani, right? And it's like if you even think you have the smallest chance in the world to keep what by the end of this guy's career, if it keeps playing out like it is, would be the best baseball player ever. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think anybody's going to dispute that if he continues to keep doing what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think he is right now. But, like, you know, he's got to have some longevity to build up the numbers to back that up. Mm, but
right.
I think he's the best baseball player of all time right now, in my mind.
Ohtani.
Anybody that I've seen play the game. So, like I say, I can't speak on the people before that. But what he does and how efficient he is and consistent he is at what he does is unreal. So if you feel like you have a chance to keep that guy, you're not going to trade him at the deadline.
Mm-hmm.
And so LA thinks they have that. This is a whole different situation.
But if Ohtani, you're basically saying here, let me stop you for a second. You're saying that if Ohtani was a member of the Oakland Athletics, well, the A's are obvious, but if Shohei Ohtani was a member of the Kansas City Royals or probably the Minnesota Twins, and they were both in the situation the Angels were at the trade deadline, both of them would have traded.
Move them, yeah.
Because it's, they know they weren't going to re-sign him.
I want to have the best ever player on my team, but
right.
he's not signing in Kansas City and
right.
Minnesota.
So we better get something
move
for him.
So that's what the situation yes. will be if Bobby Witt Jr. keeps doing what he's doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We go to 2025, and the Royals are, like you said, say they're 63-56 or something at this point, you know, whatever the record would be at this
right.
point of the season. The problem with it now is what you said. It's like they were 2 under .500 and then made the World Series, right,
mm-hmm.
at the break. And then, or the problem with it now, there's 3 wild card teams.
Right.
There's not just one.
Mm-hmm.
And two, well, one spot available for 2 teams that were going
right.
to fight for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
There's 3 extra teams that make the playoffs after your 4 or your 3 division winners, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's 6 teams in the postseason.
Yeah, better chance
and
to make
so
it
now.
Postseason.
There's a better chance to make it. You have a track record and a history that says, hey, we were 2 under .500 at the break, and we came back and made a winning streak and got to the World Series.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is, if you think like that and then you don't make it, then you're sitting here holding the bag with nothing. You
That's
got
right.
nothing in return for one of the best players that you've had in 25-30 years, right? Mm-hmm. This guy's better than Eric Hosmer.
Oh,
this
yeah.
guy's better than Mike Moustakas. This guy's better than Lorenzo Cain, based on how he would go forward and Salvi, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, this is probably the best dude we've had that we feel like we've had maybe since Carlos Beltran, right? And so it's like, yeah, but we got nothing for him. And now you sit and he's gone, and you got to wait another 4 to 5 years to get anywhere near what you hope to be. You're not catching. It's like insane how tough it was to catch lightning in a bottle and have
mm-hmm.
all these guys come up at the same time the first time this happened
mm-hmm.
for him in 2013, 14, 15, right? It's like you're not. It's so hard to get that to work. And as you get further and further away from it, you understand how ridiculous that was for that all to work out the way that they planned it.
They also
again,
had,
they
to,
had
make
to change
it,
their pitching
right.
ideas because they didn't have pitchers that they developed. But they made it work with the position players and got it all to work at the right time with Perez, Hosmer, Moustakas, Escobar, Cain, all these guys
yeah.
that came in and had to make a trade to get those guys.
I was
going
to say,
too.
You had
yeah.
to trade a guy and, at
yeah.
the top of his craft in Zach Greinke
yeah.
to get Cain and Escobar.
Yeah.
And that might be the thing here with Bobby Jr. down
exactly.
the line. Because I'm telling you, dude, can you imagine this? I mean, we're talking basically 2 years from now, right? We're talking
yeah,
2025.
Right, that, like, well, a little less than 2 years from now.
Less
be the
than
trade
2 years.
Deadline.
We're talking, you know, mid-July, late July, 2 years from now.
Yes.
This is the absolute worst possible scenario. I'm going to paint it for you. The Royals are in first place by a game, or they're out of first by a game or two. They've got a good chance to be a wild card the way they're playing, okay? Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be a free agent at the end of the year. The trade deadline is a week or two away, or 3 weeks away, the whole span of that time. And can you imagine the media in Kansas City and across the country, because other people, if he keeps playing the way he is, Bobby Witt Jr., he's going to be a guy that everybody's going to know. And can you imagine the pressure, if J.J. Piccolo is a GM at that time, and John Sherman and everybody else, can you imagine the pressure they're going to be under, especially when the whole brand-new stadium thing coincides with all this stuff.
Yeah.
Can you imagine the pressure they're going to get from their fan base? Because there are going to be a lot of fans that don't understand the financials of baseball.
Yeah.
And I would be willing to bet you that most... And the other thing is, we're so bad right now and so bad last year and might be really bad next year that Royals fans are going to be starving for a winner. And then assuming that this year and next year aren't very good, but 2025, the Royals make that jump to where they're having a really good year, kind of like the Reds are right now. That would be an example. So... Royals fans are like, oh my God, we're finally good, and you're gonna trade away our best player? Are you crazy? We're a game out of first. Why would we trade our best player when we're finally good? We as Royals fans have suffered through agony and horrible baseball for 6-7 years since we won it last time, and you wanted your freaking new Lottie Dottie Stadium.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's what the narrative is going to be.
Absolutely.
And the Royals can't win with that narrative.
No.
Because the Royals, the smart thing would be is to trade him. The smart thing would be to trade him. But the pressure is going to be keep him. And if you keep him and then you don't make the playoffs, or you make the playoffs but you don't win the World Series or you don't even get the World Series, which is very likely. There's like, because you said there's more playoff series now. There's more wild card teams. They lose in the first round of the playoffs. Bobby Witt Jr. exits stage left and signs with the Yankees for $52 million a year. And the Royals get nothing for him. Those same fans will be going, you should have got something for him.
Yeah.
Like, no, that's not how it works. That would be the worst possible scenario. So if you're a Royals fan, I think you got to sit here and say in 2025, in July of 2025, you either got to be god-awful like you are now to make it obvious, or you got to be so good like you're one of the best teams in baseball to keep him. And even if that's true, Dusty, and you even said it a moment ago, even if the Royals are the best team in baseball, the best record in American League at the trade deadline in 2025, if they know they have no chance of re-signing Bobby Witt Jr., wouldn't it still be smart to trade him even though you have the best record in baseball? That would be unprecedented, probably.
Well, now you're sitting in that gray area of what we talked about when they acquired Johnny Cueto, right?
Right.
It's like
you're all in.
If I trade him, then we're probably not going to be as good. We're probably not going to win the World Series here. But if you don't trade him, you're all in. I'm on pace for 90, 95 wins this year, and Bobby Witt Jr. might be the piece that leads me to a championship.
Yeah,
you've got to keep him.
Yeah,
like if you've made that decision that you're all in, then yeah, this is it, and this is your opportunity. The window closes after this.
Yeah, if
you don't do it, you're not going to get this guy and you're not going to keep him, right? And the further and further he goes and plays like he is right now, it is an absolute pipe dream to think he's going to be here after his contract.
I agree with you.
I have no confidence at all that Bobby Witt Jr. is playing more than one contract with the Royals.
I agree.
And I hate it.
I do too.
It saddens me because I love the kid and he's just electrifying to watch, and he does things that are just unreal and sometimes seem impossible. Rex talks a lot about some of the double plays he misses, but like and when I say this, I'm not saying he's the same player as Patrick Mahomes, but he does some of the things on the baseball field that are Mahomes-esque, right? Like it shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Like he's flipping double plays just a flick of a wrist sometimes.
Yeah.
Like it's that quick it comes out and he's got him out at first, and it's like things that he's doing just –
hit 102 mile an hour fastball where he's late and still has the bat speed to swing and hit over the fence for a home run
during
to win a game.
This stretch, there's things that he's doing and he's in.
Not a lot of guys can do it.
That walk off grand slam was all in his wrist.
Yeah, bat
speed. The dude provided the power for him with 102 mile an hour fastball,
right.
But he goes inside, moved his wrist, and puts it over the wall. And it's like that's not human.
No,
like it people don't do that. And so if he keeps doing those things, it's like this just.
And that's funny you say Mahomes, because that was the same thing that's going through my head as well, is Bobby Witt Jr., there are a lot of similarities between Mahomes and Witt Jr. from this standpoint. And the biggest difference, of course, is in the NFL, you have a better chance of keeping your players, where the baseball, it's much tougher in the size of a market of Kansas City. And that's why I would have always loved to have a salary cap in baseball. That'll never happen. Baseball has one of the strongest unions in all of the world. So it's not going to happen, probably even during your or my lifetime. And it's unfortunate, because I think it'd make baseball better, to be quite honest with you. But because look how great the NFL is. I mean, I don't know if baseball would ever get to be as popular again as the NFL, but at least you would have like more of an equal playing field from that standpoint, that if you could keep your own players, you have a better chance for that window to be a little bit wider instead of the big market teams getting your best players in their prime and you feel like you're a farm system. But getting back to Mahomes and Witt Jr. and the similarities, everybody talks so much about Mahomes benefited. Why is he such a great leader? Why is he so mature? He grew up in a clubhouse. So did Bobby Witt Jr.
Yeah.
His dad played for the Rangers. He was a very good...
bit, the same clubhouse,
yes,
right? Like,
yes.
I don't know if they played together or not.
Yeah, but Bobby Witt Jr., I mean, he grew up with the clubhouse. He grew up with the sports. He grew up with his dad being a professional baseball player. His dad was not a bad player at all. He played in the league for a while. He was a good pitcher. Mm-hmm. Bobby Witt Jr. now, you know, Patrick Mahomes Sr. was a good pitcher, a good athlete. But Patrick Mahomes right now is way better. Well, yeah. Bobby Witt Jr. is already way better than his dad ever was, I think, in the major leagues. His dad was a pitcher. But there are similarities from the standpoint of they've seen what it takes to get good. They've yeah. seen what, all the extra work you got to put in. And what's sad is the team that's going to benefit the most from that will not be the Royals. It'll be somebody else is what we're saying.
Yeah.
In a few years probably. Whereas can you imagine if the roles are reversed? Or not reverse, but can you imagine if the same thing applied in NFL as Major League Baseball? Can you imagine if Patrick Mahomes last year was going into the five? I mean, think about it. Last year was his, what, fifth year as a starter?
Yeah.
He's on a five-year deal, let's say. Last year, he's going into his fifth year, his final year of his contract last year. And the Chiefs, of course, are started out a little bit slow, and now they're competing for a Super Bowl. And if the Chiefs had the same landscape that the Royals do, and the Chiefs got to be thinking, well, are we truly going to win it? Or do we trade Patrick Mahomes? Because we can't afford him. He's going to cost $1 billion. Which yeah. is about right. That's the difference. And that's what sucks for small market baseball teams. It's still a problem. It was even worse 10, 15, 20 years ago. But it's still a big issue in baseball. And it's because, in a roundabout way, the union. In a roundabout way. Oh, the yeah. union's yeah. doing their job, don't get me wrong. The NFL and other organizations would love to have the union that the Major League Baseball has. So it is. It really is. It does stink that you should be joining Bobby Witt Jr. He's 23, by the way. Shohei Ohtani is 29. So in 2 years, and I talk about, well, what if the Royals are in the same situation with Witt Jr. as the Angels are with Ohtani? But Witt Jr. is going to be 4 years younger than Ohtani.
Yeah.
At the same time, 2 years from now, in regards to where you are at the trade deadline yeah. and your contract. So that's even worse. So
yeah, I mean,
there's no way, and I don't think there's any way in HE double hockey sticks that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to play any longer than the contract he has with the Royals.
No, and you're talking about a guy that's not even touched his prime yet.
Oh,
and
so, not even close.
And it's like that's the tough part of it when you're yeah. playing this good.
Yeah,
and it was again. You watch the dude play. It didn't take rocket science to understand.
No.
If one clicks, thing clicks for him, he's going to be a star. Superstar.
Yeah. Well, look at him run the bases on the inside of the park homer that
yeah.
night. Dear Lord.
He had a little hitch in his start, too.
Yeah.
Like he hesitated. Perhaps he might have been the fastest ever if he just goes right away.
The fastest in 6 years of Major League Baseball.
Sixth fastest
that.
Or something of all time.
Yeah,
something like
the
that.
Fastest. Yeah. He's doing things that other people haven't done, just like Mahomes done in Kansas City with the Chiefs. The difference is the Chiefs have been good. He has a really good coach, and the Royals have a new manager, a new staff, and the Royals are more discombobulated and don't know really as much as what they're wanting to do, I think.
Yeah, ownership is not the same, even close to it.
No.
Just management all the way from top to bottom. Bottom is just yeah. a whole different thing on the other side of the parking lot there.
Well, we don't want to be Debbie Downer today, but Bobby Witt Jr.
It's tough
Royals
not to
fans,
be.
Royals fans, enjoy Bobby Witt Jr. as much as you can because.
And
you
know, I am. I'm enjoying every second of it.
Man, oh man. Okay, local sports, Dusty?
Yeah, things keep going with practices. Actually, a week from today will be the first competition, as the Osborne girls tennis team will be at the Trigo Round Robin in Waukini coming up next Thursday, the 24th. So that'll be coming up. And all the tennis schedules, by the way, are posted at ncksports.com if you want to know where the girls tennis teams are going to be at this fall. And then, again, we continue to keep updating the schedules. All the football schedules are up. We have about half the volleyball schedules up. All the NCAA volleyball schedules are posted there at ncksports.com. It's a process. We get through it, and we'll have them all on there. And coming up next week, we'll start talking with some of the coaches about how their seasons are going to go forward. And high school football schedule is posted as well on our website at katycountry94.com and our social media. So we're looking forward to it, getting out to see some of the fall sports coming up.
K-State men's basketball, they are playing as we speak right now, and they are tied with the Mexico team 81-81 with 11.7 seconds to go.
Yeah,
I can do play-by-play during the sports ticket.
Halftime, I saw that too, so.
Now they're down one. So we'll keep you posted there. They're playing here this morning. Then they'll play another game. Is it tomorrow or Saturday?
I think it's tomorrow right away.
I think it is, too. Yeah. By the way, the person I was trying to think of was Whit Merrifield. Whit Merrifield, now he's older, obviously, than Bobby Witt Jr. He was around when he signed his deal with the Royals. It was 4 years, $16.5 million, but he got a lot of some guarantees and so forth and so on, which most baseball contracts are guaranteed, of course. But that was a talk at the time that at his age and where he was, that it was really a good deal for both sides. Like, Whit could go ahead and lock in his money. So that was a contract I was thinking of. Now, if Whit didn't do that, he probably would have made more money. Probably.
Oh, I believe he would have.
Yeah, and that's where Bobby Witt Jr. is not going to make that same mistake. No, I'm not going to say
that. Not at 23,
was,
he's not.
No, I'm not going to say that it was a mistake for Whit, but it was just that Witt's a lot older. He was at 30, I think, at the time they did that deal. Travis Kelce having more dust-ups at training camp with the Chiefs. You know, one thing that I thought was interesting observation somebody said, and that was, you know, you can get riled up that Kelce's riled up, and he's going at the defensive players a lot of times, the DBs, but the DBs keep punching and slapping at the ball when the play's over.
Yeah.
And that somebody pointed out, said this Kelce, you know, people looking at this as Kelce being a loose cannon a little bit, or he's frustrated, or, you know, fame's gone to his head. But really, the other way of looking at it is he is a receiver. He knows what it feels like to get drilled in your own hand or wrist when somebody does that, because they don't always hit the ball. And more than likely, he's defending and standing up for his offensive brethren, the wide receivers, the running backs, the tight ends, that are on the end of these DBs punching at the ball when the play is over, because we could get somebody hurt. I think that's what he's trying to stand up for him. And here's the thing, though. Why does it take Travis Kelce to do that? Why aren't the coaches making dang sure that stops? If Kelsey's so annoyed by it, why would you let this continue to be Kelce policing it?
Yeah. Well, and it's like one of them was the ones a couple weeks back was like he had already been in the end zone and somebody hit him. It wasn't like overly hard, but still, it's like you don't
need to be,
this is practice, man. This is not
a
game. You don't need to be hitting me, man. I'm an important part of this team. And come on, man. I don't need to be hit after the play is over. And so I would probably react that way a little bit, too, if I'm like, man, this is a practice play.
K-State has the ball, and they threw up a wild shot. It's loose on the floor, and K-State, the game is over. They lost 83-81. They had an inbounds at half court. It was stolen by one of the Mexico players, and then K-State stole it back, and then it just messed up anything that they wanted to run. And K-State, after a close win over the Israeli select team, a team that Arizona beat by 50, the K-State men lose today to Mexico. 83-81 is the final. Now, listen, if you're a K-State fan, don't freak out that you lost today. Don't worry that you only won by 7 the other day.
Scores are.
This is the infancy of what they're trying to build at K-State. And it's no different than, you know, NFL training camp where Brock Purdy throws a whole bunch of interceptions. Who cares? It's training camp. What does he do in the games? If he throws 10, there's a big story. Brock Purdy's throwing 10 interceptions in practices. Mahomes threw interceptions in practice. Who cares? Zach Greinke was getting lit up in spring training the year he won the Cy Young. The media people sometimes just don't get it, or they just want people to click on their stuff and they do this. This is not. It's not about how you start in training camp. It ain't about. It's a process. Don't get me wrong. But who cares if Mahomes throws four picks in one practice? Who cares? I mean, who cares if he throws six touchdowns in a practice? At the end of the day, you know he can do the six touchdown thing. We haven't seen him throw four interceptions in an NFL game in his career. He's done three. I don't think he's thrown 4-1. I think it was 3.
Yeah.
So you know, you got to take it with a grain of salt and understand it. So if you're going to be like, oh, my gosh, K-State men's basketball team, they got so far to go. Well, of course they do. It's August. And they just signed another guy that's going to be on their team just the other day.
Most people are not playing organized basketball right now.
Yes, so, this is not normal.
This is why they're doing this, right? If they have the opportunity, they're doing it to get themselves better and get ready. David Gasson's not there right now, right? They got a new guy coming in that's not there right now, right? Like, and so this is just an opportunity for some of these newer guys to get meshed together. Tyler Perry's of the world, Arthur Kaluma's of the world, you know, get them ready to go. So in November, they're ready.
Yeah, and honestly, they're going to be ahead of people.
That's absolutely
because of the chemistry. Yeah. Like Jerome Tang said yesterday, we played the cut on the show, is that, you know, it's off the court more. The bonding, the team chemistry, and everything else. And granted, there's a few guys missing, as you said, but this is going to help both KU, what they did in Puerto Rico, and K-State, and all these teams that are doing this. It's going to help them, I think, in the long run.
Oh, without, for sure.
Whether they win or lose these games. I mean, KU lost their last one, Puerto Rico. It's no need to freak out. Big deal. But K-State lost to a Mexico select team. Who cares?
Yeah.
You know, it's about... Now, would I be worried if they lost by 50? Maybe. But it is what it is. And So anyway, they lost 83-81. I just finished up. They're already done at 10 a.m.
Yeah.
Our time.
I don't know what time it is in Abu Dhabi right now, but they got her done.
Got her done, as Larry the Cable Guy would say. Get her done. Women's World Cup, no surprise. The women's national coach, I'm sure, was pressured, has stepped down after they didn't even get out of the knockout round, the U.S. women. Patrick Mahomes was asked why short yardage has been difficult lately for the Chiefs. He said, and I quote, probably because my kneecap was on the side of my leg. He said with a smile. Yes, that's more than likely the problem. I mean, yeah. If you could normally do a quarterback sneak, it'd be different. Do you think we'll see Patrick Mahomes ever do a quarterback sneak as a Kansas City Chief ever again?
I don't. I think we would have had that opportunity by now if it was going to happen.
I think you're probably right. Although, I do believe that there might be a Super Bowl situation. It needs a quarterback sneak where they're going to catch everybody off guard and they're going to do it in a Super Bowl. That would be the time to do it, because if he did get hurt, you'd have all offseason to recover. So I think that would be the only scenario I can envision. Maybe the AFC title. I mean, maybe the...
It better
maybe,
be the last maybe, play to win the game
I was
in the
say,
Super Bowl,
it,
right?
It would need to be... Well, I would be okay with it if it's the last play.
Listen, I'm
if,
okay if it's with play, it any time.
Any time in the playoffs, if he does a quarterback sneak to close out the game or to keep a drive alive so the Chiefs can win, and they know that they're going to have an easy first down because nobody's expecting it. But when you play that card once, you might... I mean, granted, it's still hard to stop even if you know what's coming. But I think that's the only time you try to surprise anybody. It's not worth it in a regular season game.
No.
Go ahead and do the Blake Bell thing. It doesn't work. Hopefully a defense can make some plays, or we get to try it again on fourth and short after third and short, or use somebody else to run that little sneak instead of Blake Bell, whether it's Kelsey, or just give it to Pacheco, or a quick little, you know, out pattern to Kelsey, whatever it might be. But I do think there will probably be, the odds are in my favor on this one, that they will. But if it comes in the regular season, they should be investigated, because that is not the time to do it. But that's unless they go, okay, we are good to do this as a regular play in our playbook in short yardage situations. There's no point to do it in the regular season unless you're going to start doing it on a more regular basis. Then I would understand it. But the time to bring it out to me is when you so desperately need the first down in a survive mode situation, and that would be the playoffs. So the Super Bowl, I can see it actually happening. I could see it happening maybe in the playoffs before that. If you have, you know you're going to get it, and you know you've been stopped on these tight end sneaks.
Yeah.
I could see him doing it, but you might be right. The only way it happens might be the final drive of a Super Bowl, because, oh my God, we get him hurt in the AFC divisional round, and we don't have him the rest of the playoffs.
I would be in support of them doing it whenever they feel like they want to do it. I think it's insane that they've taken it out of the playbook just because of one
freak
time.
Yeah.
But again, if it happens again, everybody's going to be yelling and screaming and just going nuts. It's like, why are you running a quarter? Well, Jalen Hurts ran how many quarterback sneaks in the Super Bowl?
A lot.
It's like, this is what, if you have a line to block, this is what teams do. It's normal. But just because, like he said, my kneecap was on the side of my leg, I think Patrick Mahomes would be fine doing it, but he knows that, the history of what happened on that one night in Denver, that they're not going to do it anymore.
Do you think the Chiefs maybe are more worried about, when you do a quarterback sneak, you go into a pile of humanity sometimes, guys pushing everybody, fall on top of each other. Do you think the Chiefs may be slightly worried that they don't come out publicly and say this, they're slightly worried that that gives more of an opportunity for a player on the other team to do something dirty?
I think that's the only reason they're not doing it.
Yeah.
I think it's the 100% reason they don't do it is because they've seen this guy get hurt once already.
Mm-hmm.
And then now that it's like somebody's going to be at the bottom of that pile, or somebody's going to come in late twisting his leg, or even, you know, helmet to helmet, because I don't have any ramifications for myself. I'm not important. You know, I'm going to come in here and just spear him, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so things like that could happen. And I really do think that's why they don't do that, because of the tight quarters and the space. I don't think anything to do with getting hurt on the actual play they'll run. It's the after effects of what happens on a quarterback sneak that they're worried about, I think.
I totally agree with you on that. No doubt. I agree. And so anyway, the Chiefs training camp is continuing. Today's the last
break
day.
Today, yeah.
Mm-hmm. They break today, and they go to Arizona for the game on Saturday, which Dusty wants nobody to play in that game because of the field. 6 o'clock pregame Saturday night on Z96.3, late kickoff at 7 between the Cardinals and the Chiefs. And there was one more thing I was going to bring up, but I may have forgotten. As I get older, I forget these things. Yeah. Did you know K-State football, they have a Friday night college game this year in Big 12 play at Oklahoma State?
Yeah.
I figured
yep.
you knew that.
Yep.
I was looking at the schedule, and I was like, I'd like to go Stillwater sometime.
Yeah.
And I'm like, ooh, K-State at Oklahoma State or KU at Oklahoma State, that'd be one of the two I would go to. And I go, oh, well, that might be – oh, it's a Friday yeah. night. That ain't
going to
work.
I was actually, before the schedule came out and everything, thinking about going back to Stillwater again yeah. this year, and then boom.
On Friday. A Friday night.
We're not doing that, I guess.
No, not at all. Latest local sports information, our broadcast schedule, which is subject change for this football season, is posted. NCKSSports.com. Do we have that there, this broadcast schedule?
It's definitely on KatieCountry94.com. Okay. I need to find okay. – I need to put it on the website okay. probably.
We'll get it on NCKS yep. too, but it's there for you to peruse. And we got on social media accounts as well. Enjoy the rest of your day, everyone.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.